Good morning, everyone. Good morning, church. Our Bible reading for today, we'll be looking at two scriptures. The first is the book of Acts, chapter 2, from verse 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple's court. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The second scripture is from the same book of Acts, chapter 17. And then three verses there, 10 to 12. Acts of Apostle 17, 10 to 12. As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and Greek men. May the Lord bless the hearing of his words in our hearts. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Tunde, for bringing those two readings. We'll be flicking through those two readings. The first reading that we had from the book of Acts, chapter 2, we'll be reading that over the next 5 weeks, over and over again, because that's something that we want to focus on a little bit more. Now, last week, if you were here, we looked at our mission, and it said, guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit, our mission is to glorify God by living as Jesus' followers and witnesses. Now, when we live out our mission, what would it look like? This is what we called our vision, a picture of what it will look like if we are achieving our mission. It is what we want to see our community doing and being. So what is our vision? Can anybody remember? We adopted this a few weeks ago. Anybody remember what is our vision? I'll help you. Our vision is of a spirit-filled, Christ-centered community where people of all ages and nations are learning the good news, sharing the good news, and loving people both in and beyond our community, depending on God and worshipping Him. Now, as you look at it, there are a lot of pictures there, a lot of images that is embedded in that statement. What I want us to do is just turn to the person next to you and think about the images that comes to your mind when you look at that statement. What sort of images comes to your mind? Well, have a chat. Yeah, you can move if you want to. Turn around, move if you want to. Okay. Want to yell out a few images that comes to your mind? Any pictures that comes to your mind? No? What do you see? I can see a picture of people from all ages. Do you see that? What else? All nations? Good news? Diversity? Yep, all of them have the same spirit-filled, Christ-centeredness. Worshipping. There's, do you hear something? Loving people. Yep. Learning. Church, this church. Yes. Good. So there are images, isn't it? So what we're going to do in the next few weeks is we're going to kind of unpack these images. And let me tell you, where did we get all this beautiful statement? We didn't come up with this statement. None of our leaders came up with this statement. It came from the Bible. It came from the Bible. It came from the vision pictures that we just read from Acts chapter 2. Where Luke tells us the marks of the very first church that gathered in Jerusalem. So in the next few weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some of these vision pictures. And today we are going to think about what it looks like to be a learning church, learning the good news. Because when we are achieving our mission, we will be a community of learners, a community of learners. You may remember when Jesus gave the great commission in Matthew chapter 28. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. And he said, do that, and then baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey. In other words, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he expected the church to be a learning community. The church to be a learning space. So when we come to Acts chapter 2, we see that the very first church, one of the very first things they did was they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, who are the apostles? Who are the apostles? The apostles were the 12 disciples of Jesus who had been chosen, trained, and appointed by Jesus himself. They had the responsibility of being the eyewitnesses of Jesus. Not everyone could be an apostle. The special criteria was they had to have seen the risen Lord Jesus and spent time with Jesus. The Apostle John wrote, we tell you about this Jesus. You know, he's the one who existed from the beginning, but we are telling about him, the one that we touched with our own hands, the one whom we have seen with our own eyes, the one we've heard from our own ears. So they were not making things up. And they were sharing what they knew to be true. So this morning what we are going to do is we are going to think about what do we learn as a learning community and how do we learn as a learning community. So we look at what did the first disciples learn, the first believers learn in the first church in Jerusalem, or ask, what did the apostles really teach? Now, if you think about it, their main message was Jesus, wasn't it? Wherever they went, they took the good news of Jesus. They spread the good news of Jesus, that by believing in Jesus, now anyone and everyone can have a relationship with God. Regardless of whether you're a man or a woman, whether you are young or old, people from every background and every nation can now be part of God's kingdom, part of God's family, by believing in Jesus. And the good news included God's love for the world in Jesus. Who Jesus is, why he came, what did he do? The death and the resurrection of Jesus. It included the message of forgiveness for those who trust in Jesus. How to live as followers of Jesus and the hope of eternal life. So the good news of Jesus, this is what they taught. This is what they preached. And the second thing is, how do we learn? We're going to spend a bit more time on this. How do we learn? As we saw earlier, we learn from teachers, don't we? Now, Jesus was a great teacher. He taught his disciples. He showed them what to do. He got them together and taught them what to teach. And in turn, the disciples taught the people in the church. And the disciples had the responsibility not just to teach, but also to train other teachers. You may remember Paul says to Timothy, one of his dear sons, he called him his son. He says, train others. Teach others. Who are gifted to teach, who are reliable, train them so that they can teach afterwards. So today we learn from teachers and preachers and pastors and evangelists who have been trained and affirmed in the church. We also have the responsibility to identify, isn't it? Identify, train, and release those whom God has gifted as teachers. Because as we see in this verse in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul says, you know, God is the one who gifts people like teachers, along with the apostles and the evangelists and the pastors. So church, we have a responsibility not just to listen to teachers, not just to be blessed by teachers, but also to recognize and identify those who have the gift of teaching, preaching, and encourage them, giving them opportunities and maybe sending some of us to Bible college to train, to be equipped, to be teachers. Now we learn from teachers, but we also learn, most importantly, from the Bible, don't we? Because the teachers, the first apostles, they did not just tell about their first-hand experiences of who Jesus is, but they also spoke from the Word of God. For them, the Word of God, the Bible, was the Old Testament. I mean, they didn't have the New Testament written at that time. You'll remember in Luke chapter 24, there's this story just after Jesus has died, and these two disciples, they're going back home to Emmaus. And they're so dejected and sad, and they don't know what to do. And then Jesus appears. And what does he do? He explained all about himself, says, beginning with Moses, which is the first five books of the Bible, and all the prophets. The whole of the Bible, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So we see in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 3, and whenever the apostles preach, they weave the Old Testament into their message because they knew Jesus did not come in a vacuum. They knew that the Bible is not a self-help book. No, it is His story, God's story. God revealing Himself to us through the Scriptures. God revealing about His Son in the pages of the Bible. The Old Testament, friends, is pointing to Jesus. The Old Testament is like the key that opens the New Testament. And without it, we won't understand the New Testament. And without the Old Testament, New Testament is just another book. So when we learn the Bible, we learn the good news of Jesus. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy these beautiful words. He says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is inspired by God." It is not what Paul or Jeremiah or Moses or Peter made up. They didn't think this up and then write, okay, this might be good for us to write down. People will kind of follow this. No, this is God inspiring. God inspiring. God guiding the writers. And why did God inspire, breathe these words for us? It says to teach. To rebuke, to correct, to train in righteousness. And why does God teach, rebuke, correct, and train us through His Word? Not so much that we have big heads. Not so much that we can fill our minds with all the information and knowledge. Not so much that we can have a title in front of our name, professor or reverend. No, not so much for that. No, to equip us, isn't it? To equip us thoroughly for every good work. And last week, if you were here, we talked about the good work. Good work of showing kindness, being generous, seeking justice, forgiving, patient, caring for the planet, helping others, looking after the poor. Caring for the fatherless, the refugee. Working hard at bringing peace. In other words, friends, if you think about it, the role of the Scripture is, again, to make us more and more like Jesus, isn't it? Because that's what Jesus did. And that is why, here at Burwood Baptist Church, Bible is one of the values, one of the first values that we want to focus on. We value God's authoritative word, its proper teaching, and its proper application. We don't want just to be teaching. We want us to be learning and also to put it to practice, applying the Scriptures to our lives. We want to be a Bible learning community where we position ourselves under the Word of God. Now, that is important, isn't it? Where we position ourselves. You see, we don't position ourselves over the Word of God and tell the Word of God what to do. We don't position ourselves alongside the Word of God, kind of thinking, okay, God's Word and my Word, they're the same. And we position ourselves under the Word of God. And when we position ourselves under the Word of God, we come with a posture of reverence. Because we recognize the authority and the power of the Word of God. Friends, because the Word of God and God, you can't separate, because the Word is God. When we come, when we position ourselves under the word of God, we come with a posture of humility. To have humility to say, well, you know what? God is big. I am just this tiny creature and I don't know anything about God. I want to learn. I want to know. I mean, that's what we will sing at the end. That's what the songs have been. That we want to know who Jesus is, who God is. And allowing God to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us. And humility to actually learn from others, isn't it? And humility to be able to teach others. We come with a posture of generosity. Generosity towards others. Because we recognize that not everyone is on the same page. Some are slow to understand the Bible. Some have difficulty in understanding the Bible. And we recognize that at some point or the other, we all fail to live according to God's word. And we become generous in being gracious to one another. And then we come with a posture of expectation, don't we? Because we expect the God of the Word to be at work when we read the Word of God. We expect God to change us. We must expect God to transform us, to heal us, to guide us, to comfort us. And that's why we read Scripture in difficult seasons. So friends, we learn from others, we learn from teachers, we learn from the Bible. And thirdly, we learn in a community, don't we? We see this as an example in Acts chapter 17, the second reading that we had. When the Apostle Paul went to Berea, for the first time, he preached the good news of Jesus. Just like he had done in Thessalonica. He reasoned with them. He reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. How did the Bereans respond? What did the Bereans do? Luke tells us that they received the word of God eagerly, with great eagerness, and they examined the scriptures every day to see if Paul what Paul says is true. Now we must remember that in those days, the Bible wasn't available like we have it today. I mean, I have a Bible in every device. My phone, my iPad, my computer, and I have a couple of Bibles. One I use for preparing, like I've got underlines and highlighting, the one that I can bring to church to show off. You may have copies of Bibles, multiple copies of Bible in your hand, in your house. And you can read it in any version you want to. But that was not the case in the first century. It was hard to get a copy of the Bible. Probably there was only one copy for a community. And that was in the synagogue. So they had to come to the synagogue. They couldn't kind of turn the Bible at home or read it on their own private time. No, they had to come to the synagogue. Examine and study the scriptures as a community. Learning the Bible was a community exercise. This would have involved public reading of the scriptures, debates by teachers, and teaching and exposition, and conversation about the teaching, just like what we did last week after the sermon. Just asking, okay, what did we learn? What about that? There were a Bible learning community, weren't they? And as a Bible learning community, we should do our own private reading, our devotional books and sermon listening, podcasts and all those things. We should memorize, journal, take notes on our own, and we should pray and sing the Word of God. And there are some good resources that are available, like the YouVersion Bible app or devotional books. But we must not give up learning the Bible in a community. And I guess that's why you are here, isn't it? We come to church. Because in the church, we don't just listen to a sermon. No, we sing scripture. We pray scripture. And we get to share with one another what we are learning. And we can take part in sharing services here in this church. We do that regularly, don't we? It is an opportunity to learn from one another and join a midweek homes Bible study group. Now, how many Bible study groups do we have currently in this church? Can anybody give a number? Four? Five? Any other guesses? There are seven. There's two on Wednesday. Three on Wednesday. One on Friday. One on Thursday. The youth group, and there's two on Friday, and one on Thursday. There's seven. It is important that we become part of those small groups, because on a Sunday, you can't interact with one another. And if you ask those who are in a Bible study group, they will tell you the fun that they have interacting with one another, not just the food that they're having, but the fun they're having interacting with one another. So if you want to be part of a Bible study group, come and speak to me or John Joe. We can point you in the right direction, because learning in a community, learning Bible in a community is really helpful. Now, we learn from teachers, we learn from the Bible, we learn in a community, but we can't forget that we learn through the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Without the work of the Holy Spirit, friends, all our sermons, our teaching, our Bible reading on our own, all our Bible study groups, they're all just a complete waste of time. And Jesus said the role of the Holy Spirit is to teach us, guide us to the truth. He said, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. It is the Holy Spirit's role to help us understand the Bible. Paul used the word this morning as we were praying, asking the Holy Spirit to amplify. He's the amplifier, isn't it? He amplifies the words of God for us. It is the Holy Spirit who reminds us the words of God. It is the Holy Spirit who convicts us of our sins and our need for Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us the ability to live a life that honors God. It is the Holy Spirit that makes us more and more like Jesus as we learn from the Word of God. So which means, friends, each time when we open the Word of God, each time when we read the Bible, meditate, preach, teach, we must invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to be at work in us. And we must expect the Holy Spirit to be at work. We must be conscious of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. We must be conscious of the promptings of the Holy Spirit, because He is the one who prompts us from the back of our mind. And we must be willing to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So friends, when we live out our mission of glorifying God by being followers and witnesses of Jesus, we will be a learning community where we will learn the good news of Jesus. And we will learn it from teachers whom God has appointed. We will learn it from the Word of God, the Bible. We will learn it from one another. And we will learn it from the Holy Spirit. Because it is God's desire, friends, that when we learn, we grow. We just don't grow, no, we glorify God. Because we learn the good news of Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you once again for the privilege of being in a community. We thank you, Lord, that you don't call us to be on our own. You call us to grow as a community. So, Father, we thank you for the message of the Bible. Thank you, we learned the good news of Jesus. All what you have done to save us and make us your children, and what it means to be your child. And we thank you for teachers. Thank you for pastors. Thank you for those who have taught your word to us, our Bible study group leaders, our youth leaders. Father, our Sunday school teachers, our scripture teachers, we thank you for them. And Father, we thank you, Lord, you have not stopped raising teachers. There are those among us who you are raising. So help us to identify and bless them. And Father, give them opportunities to serve in your kingdom. And help us to treat your word as your word. Learn from it and be challenged by it. And help us not to ignore the community. Lord, our responsibility to learn in the community. And help us, Father, to listen to the guiding and the leading presence of your Holy Spirit. And ask me to help us to be a community which brings glory to you. So we ask this, Father, again for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.